Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Janavalabha Giri Varadhari. Jai Gopi Janavalabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajojana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajojana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parviraj Gacharya Shuddha Shuddha Shishimade Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parviraj Gacharya Shuddha Shuddha Shishimade Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Shikhara Das Thakur Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Kisankaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavadam Ki Jai. Mayapurdam Ki Jai. Gangamai Murmai Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai. Kod Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Olgorisam Rivotis. Olgorisam Rivotis. Olgorisam Rivotis. Olgoris Olgoris Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Text 18. Tam prartayantim lalana lalamam. Asevita Sri Charanaira Drishtam. Vatsam manoru chapada svasaram. Ko nanu manyata budo abhiyatam. Tam prarthayantam lalana lalamam. Ase vitashi charanaira drishtam. Vatsam manoru chapada swasaram. Ko nanu manyata budo abhiyatam. Please chant. Ko nanu manyata budo abhiyatam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tam her praartayantim. Seeking lalana lalamam, the ornament of woman, asevita shicharanai, by those who have not worshipped the feet of Lakshmi, adrishtam, not seen, Vatsam, beloved daughter, Manu, O Swayambhuva Manu, Uchapadam, of Uttanapada, Svasaram, sister, Kam, what? Na Annu Manyetam, would not welcome Buddham, wise man, Abhiyatam, who has come of her own accord. Translation. What wise man would not welcome her, the very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Svayambhuva Manu and sister of Uttanapad? Those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot even perceive her, yet she has come on her own accord to seek my hand. Purport. Kardama Muni praised the beauty and qualification of Devahuti in different ways. Devahuti was actually the ornament of all ornamented beautiful girls. A girl becomes beautiful by putting ornaments on her body, but Devahuti was more beautiful than the ornaments. She was considered the ornament of the ornamented beautiful girls. Demigods and Gandharvas were attracted by her beauty. Kardama Muni, although a great sage, was not a denizen of the heavenly planets, but it is mentioned in the previous verse that Vishwavasu, who came from heaven, was also attracted by the beauty of Devahuti. Besides her personal beauty, she was the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuva and sister of King Uttanapad. Who could refuse the hand of such girl? Tam prartayantim lalana lalamam asevita shri charnair adrishtam vatsam manoru chapada svasaram ko nanu manyeta budo abhiyatam. What wise man would not welcome her, the very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Svayambhuva Manu and sister of Uttanapad? Those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot even perceive her, yet she has come of her own accord to seek my hand. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sinmaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everybody. So, very beautiful verse. We are continuing the discussion between Svayambhuva Manu and Kardama Muni. And it is important to note that all this discussion is taking place at a very unique place. It's called Bindu Sarovara. And why is it called Bindu Sarovara? Bindu Sara, it says, Lake of Tears. Lake of Tears. So the reason I'm mentioning that, Svayambhuva Manu, he is the emperor of the entire world. And typically, in situations like that, the wedding would take place in the palace, you know, where big crowds come and there is very festive atmosphere and everything is very opulent. But contrary to that, Svayambhuva Manu understood that he is marrying his daughter to a very, very unique personality, not just ordinary, just anybody. And it is mentioned in one of the verses earlier that Svayambhuva Manu, he was praising Kardama Muni and he was saying, like, I'm so fortunate to be able to even see you because ordinary people can't even perceive you. So, Bindu Sara, Lake of Tears, essentially, after long, long meditation, when Lord Vishnu appeared, basically, Lord Vishnu was so much compassionate and so much in love with his devotee that tears fell out of his eyes. And that's how the lake Bindu Sarovara was manifested. So, very unique atmosphere. And the other thing it's also important to note, when Svayambhuva Manu arrives, it's not like they immediately start to speak about the marriage. You would think, he's my daughter, you know, let's celebrate and so on. But the meeting of these great personalities is not like meeting of some ordinary common people. They completely operate on different frequencies. Their thoughts, their desires, their actions are completely on different level from mundane people. So when Svayambhuva Manu arrives, basically he is welcomed by Kardama, and then Kardama speaks. And what does he speak about? He speaks about Dharma of Kshatriya. And he glorifies the king, and he basically says, like, my king, it is so wonderful to see you performing your own duty as a kshatriya, because if you wouldn't do that, all the thieves and rascals would roam the globe and basically ruin the peaceful atmosphere that is necessary for a prosperous society. And then later on, Svayambhuva Manu basically glorifies Kardama Muni in a very similar way. And he actually explains how Lord Vishnu created Brahmanas and Kshatriyas to protect each other. Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport how that is cooperative system. The Varnashrama system is cooperative system where everybody benefits, not just, you know, one particular class. So much different than the society that we are witnessing nowadays. So it is also interesting to note that Devahuti, she never met Kardama Muni. And how did she select him as a husband? Simply by hearing. As we know, similarly, Rukmini Devi, she did the same thing. Basically, in both cases, actually, they had a great fortune to hear from Narada Muni. And Narada Muni would travel, visit different kingdoms, and he would basically, these princesses, they would have a chance to get the association of these great saintly personalities. So in this case, Narada Muni explained, and he actually spoke about Kardama and his qualities. And he explained to Devahuti that he is the perfect person to be husband of Devahuti. So finally, in this verse today, basically, Kardama Muni, he is saying, what wise man would not welcome her, the ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Svayambhuva Manu, and sister of Uttanapad. Who is Uttanapad? He is the... Yeah, that's right. He is the father of great devotee Dhruva Maharaj. And why are these things mentioned? Because naturally, to marry the woman that's coming from great family, it is actually very, very auspicious. It is a blessing. So if somebody would just kind of, you know, take this verse and, you know, without being familiar with Krishna conscious culture, you know, one could possibly be tempted to think like how I thought, like, you guys just speak about renunciation, like, what is this? But no, contrary to that, we find all these beautiful stories, they actually point out that in Krishna consciousness, all the aspects of life are present. It's not just renunciation. There is opulence, there is name, fame, everything is there. There is no need to be seeking outside Krishna consciousness for anything. No matter what one desires, those desires can be purified and satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So Kardama Muni, basically, he is praising Devahuti, and he's saying that those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot even perceive her. Can you imagine that? So essentially, it's also mentioned how this Gandharva, he was flying above the palace of Svayambhuva Manu, and he was so captured by the beauty of Devahuti that he fell out of his airplane. So in many ways, basically, this is very, very auspicious marriage. And why are these things so much stressed in the scripture? Because we also know from Bhagavad Gita as well, that Arjuna, he's basically saying to Lord Krishna, my dear Lord, I don't want to engage in this war because the family traditions will get destroyed. And when family traditions get destroyed, the womanhood gets polluted. With womanhood being polluted, the rise of unwanted population takes place, one Shankara. And everything is destroyed. The peace of society is destroyed, and all the varnas are basically suffer. There is no prosperity in society. So Chanakya Pandit said something very interesting. He said, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, comes of her own accord where fools are not respected, where food grains are well stored, and where the husband and wife do not quarrel. Very interesting. So, I was just reading recently this beautiful book by Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was mentioning one particular instance in 1977. He was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And at one point, Srila Prabhupada kind of disclosed his feelings and thoughts. And he said, actually, I'm going to read it because it's so nicely. Maharaj actually so nicely explained it here. To help Prabhupada relax at night, I would massage his feet. And as I did, he would often talk to me. One night, sitting up on his bed as I gave him gentle massage, he lamented, "There is so much to do, but I have become so sick, I am not able to do anything." Srila Prabhupada, I said, "What you have done is inconceivable. No one has ever achieved what you have. You should not think that there is anything left that you must do. Now you should just relax." And then Prabhupada speaks. "What I have done is 50%, he said. "The other 50% is to establish Varna Ashrama Dharma, the Vedic organization of society into 4 social and 4 spiritual orders." I did not know what to say, so I remained silent. And then Prabhupada continues. "ISKCON is for the devotees," he said, "but not everyone will become a devotee. Not everyone will be able to surrender to Krishna. For those who will continue to act according to the moods of material nature, in order to situate them on the proper human culture, we need Varnashrama Dharma." So, very interesting that Prabhupada actually could see how in the future majority of society will have a hard time following strict principles. However, they can benefit very much by being engaged through the system of Varnashrama Dharma. So, I was recently observing one interesting thing that you can very often see here in Florida. You probably notice them every spring. Sandhill cranes, how they fly up north. And they take the journey pretty much twice a year. And they fly from south here, Florida region, you know, Texas. And they go all the way up to Canada and sometime even up to Alaska, which is approximately about 5,000 miles. And it's explained that sandhill cranes basically, they fly very high, almost like about 1,200 feet high in the sky. But what is most interesting, when they fly in formation. It's like a V formation. Have you ever seen them? And they make beautiful sounds in the sky. So recently I was chanting, you know, as I usually like to walk in my backyard, and I was just watching them, how basically they're traveling to the north. So I was thinking about that. And it's also said that in one day, they can cover almost about 200 to 300 miles, which is quite a big distance. So the importance, why I'm mentioning that, you would never see them fly alone. They usually fly in a big groups. Usually it's like several hundreds of them flying together. And it is explained that basically they make sounds that help them stay together. They help each other to basically stay on a path. But not only that, when they flap their wings, essentially it helps the other birds somehow to benefit from that joint endeavor. So essentially, that momentum, that joint endeavor basically helps even those birds who are may not be as strong as some others to stay and keep up with the rest of the group. So I was thinking in a similar way, Varnashrama Dharma is also meant for the similar purpose. Basically, all the classes of society, they benefit. And as long as there is cooperation, like Prabhupada mentioned in one of the purports, then everybody benefits. So Prabhupada is saying basically, let me find this. Oh, okay. Prabhupada is saying, if the head is clear and has not gone mad, then everything is in its proper position. And what that means, basically, if the brahmanas in society are present, then there is a great chance that the rest of the society will be in functioning correctly or be guided properly. So as we know, in the current age, that is not so easy to achieve, not so easy to achieve at all. But we have to keep trying. We have to keep trying. So very similar example we also find in Ramayana. I started reading Ramayana yesterday. And as we know, in a week, we will be celebrating very auspicious day of appearance of Lord Sri Ram. So we find that King Dasharath, he had a very similar problem. Basically, he was getting old, and at one point he realized who is going to protect the citizens. And he was basically approaching the Brahmins, specifically Vishwamitra, Vashishtha Muni. Is that right? Vashishtha Muni? And he was asking for help. So basically there was a big assembly where all the different classes of society were present. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and even Shudras. And he disclosed them his mind and his anxiety. And he was asking actually all the citizens for the blessings and for the approval. And specifically, he wanted to do the horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yagya, to please the Lord Vishnu. But before he did that, he asked his chief priest, Vashishtha Muni, will this sacrifice be successful? Will the Lord be pleased with that? And he was reassured, yes, the sacrifice will be successful. And indeed, Vashishtha Muni said that I actually have heard from Sanat Kumar that there has been plans that you will be father of the great and famous sons. So no doubt in my mind that soon you will be blessed with the great sons. I just wanted to share with you this small paragraph. Dasharath looked anxiously at Vashishtha, who was both his priest and preceptor. O learned one, you know well the perils that attend kingdom bereft of the monarch. How can I retire to the forest, leaving this world without protector? Vasishtha sat surrounded by many other Brahmana sages. His hand rested upon his staff as he listened to Dasharatha. The sun shone through the carved lattice windows of the hall, covering the king with the golden light. Vasishtha, shining with his own mystic power, appeared like a second sun as he replied to the king, O emperor, I have no doubt that you will soon be blessed with a powerful son who can succeed you. Not long ago, I heard this told by Sanat Kumar, the immortal sage who roams the universe. A divine arrangement is being worked by the gods for your everlasting benefit. So I just wanted to briefly touch that so that we can take the following week and basically meditate on the pastimes of Lord Ram. I do also wanted to say a few words about today's also appearance of Ramanuja Acharya. So I would like to also share with you a few things about this great personality. And I found a very interesting article actually in Back to Godhead. Which was actually written by this devotee who is visiting Vrajavilas, is that his name? Yeah. So he wrote this article. Before his advent, bhakti or devotion to God was seen as one of the means to salvation. Shankaracharya and his followers taught that the absolute truth known as the Brahman is formless and that bhakti is at best a ladder that can help us come close to realizing the formless, nameless Brahman. They maintain that the path of bhakti is temporary and is merely produced of illusion. Because they declare God and this world to be Maya, these philosophers are called Mayavadis. And because they dismiss the personal aspect of God, they are also referred to as impersonalists. And they're teaching impersonalism. So, prior to Ramanuja Acharya appearing, he actually lived in 11th century. As we know, Shankaracharya, he appeared in 8th century. So, the Mayavadi philosophy was very prominent. And great devotee Yamunacharya, he prayed for someone who would actually re-establish the proper understanding of the Vedas. So it is said that the story of Ramanuja Acharya begins years before his birth. A stalwart devotee of Lord Vishnu named Yamunacharya desired that the message of love for God should spread far and wide. He fervently prayed for a successor who would spearhead this movement. Through his divine vision, he realized that the young boy Ramanuja would carry forward this tradition of long devotional service. Yet Yamunacharya saw a serious challenge to his prospect. The prevalent philosophy of impersonalism was so deeply rooted in the society that even the prodigious Ramanuja was enrolled in the school of prominent Mayavadi, Sri Yadava Prakash. How then would the bhakti movement spread? Yamunacharya chose patience. He waited for the right time and knew that things would soon fall in right place. So basically, Ramanujacharya, he actually enrolled into the school of this Mayavadi, Yadava Prakash. And one day, as he was serving his teacher, as he was massaging him, one other disciple came and had a question about one particular shloka. And Yadava Prakash, basically, he went to translate that in very inappropriate way, comparing the lotus eyes of the Lord with particular part of the monkey, which was very offensive. And Ramanuja, I'm sorry? That's right. That is right. So, basically, Yadava Prakash, then, so I'm kind of reading from this point. Yadava Prakash then bubbled on offensive interpretation of the verse where he compared the Lord Vishnu's eyes to the monkey's buttocks. Ramanuja's fine devotional sentiments were hurt, and he felt furious. But being a humble student, he would not confront his teacher. He swallowed the pain, but his eyes brimmed with the tears on hearing derogatory statements about his worshipable Lord. As he quietly continued to massage, hot tears from his eyes fell on the thigh of Yadava Prakash, who rose with a start. "You are crying," asked Yadava Prakash. "What's wrong with you?" Ramanuja fearlessly yet humbly replied, "Dear Gurudev, your interpretations of this verse are not only insensitive to God, but also wrong." Outraged by Ramanuja's response, Yadava Prakash challenged, "You arrogant fool, you think you are better than your own spiritual master." Ramanuja hung his head low. The guru roared, "Let me see if you can offer a more cogent description." Ramanuja replied, "The verse says that Lord Vishnu's eyes are kapyasam, and you translated the word literally, where kapi means a monkey and asam means buttocks. But this smacks of your insensitivity, because scriptures offer poetic descriptions of the Lord's beauty. When you understand this mood, you will see the word differently. The word kapyasam also means that which grows in water. Kapi can mean that which swallows darkness, and asam can mean blossom. What does the sun which swallows darkness cause to blossom? That is a beautiful lotus that abundantly grows in lakes. Therefore, to say that the Lord's eyes are like kapyasam means they are like the beautiful petals of a lotus." So basically, the argument between Yadava Prakash and Ramanuja Acharya over time escalated even further, to the point that Yadava Prakash, he actually felt threatened and he wanted to kill Ramanuja Acharya. At one point, he even organized expedition into particular pilgrimage. But his plan was actually to get rid of Ramanuja Acharya. He felt like he was, you know, threatening his position. Fortunately, his cousin, Govinda, he actually heard of the plans to kill the Ramanuja Acharya, and he warned him. And in the midst of the night, he woke him up and he led him to the forest. So Ramanuja Acharya was able to escape. While he was running through the forest, at one point he realized he was actually lost. And based on this story, it's described that a beautiful couple appeared, hunter couple. And Ramanuja Acharya, he was bewildered because he felt such attraction to them. And they said, "Oh, looks like you're lost. Follow us and we will help you." And Ramanuja Acharya, "Yeah, I was lost, but I feel like not anymore." And essentially, he followed them for many hours. And at one point, they decided to rest, and Ramanuja fell asleep. When he woke up, he realized that was none other than Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi Devi themselves. And he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love for his beloved Lord. So we find this is basically the common thread, essentially, in all these stories, with Kardama Muni, with Ramanujacharya. The common point is basically great love for the Lord. And regardless of the activities, whether one is in jungle meditating or living in a forest, living in a opulent palace, we find that the mind and consciousness of Kardama Muni does not change, as we will find in the coming verses later on, where he creates that famous airplane and in which he and Devahuti travel. His love, his commitment to the devotional service does not deteriorate by any means. So I will stop here, and if there is any comments or any questions, we can discuss further.
From Madhvacharya, because we are followers of Madhvacharya, he takes Ekhai Keval Advaita Nirasan Krishna Murti Nitya Jani Tahara Seva. It helps me also to think. So, ultimate defeat of Mayavadism coming from Madhvacharya in our sampradaya. And second is, anything you do for the deity is eternal. Has nothing to do with the temporary, even though we are in the temporary world. But anybody does any seva, any service, like singing, dancing, even taking darshan, eternal. So it's very nice. And from Ramanujacharya, Ramanujvite, Loituishar, Ananda Bhakti, Bhakta Jana Seva. From Ramanujacharya, I take two, one, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Mathur is writing well. Lord Chaitanya is expressing. I'm taking that one point of devotion and importance of serving devotee. Respecting devotee, serving devotee. This idea comes from Ramana Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So we will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.